It's 2:05 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live from our sister station, WMAL in Washington, D.C. I fly back to California on Sunday, unless there's an incident on the plane. These flight attendants, now that they have the power of God to harass people about the masks, every time I get on the plane, I feel like there's a pretty good chance something's going to end up on YouTube. There's always people screaming at the gate. They're screaming on the plane. There's no booze on the plane. Personally speaking, I think if they brought the booze back to the flights, that would solve a lot of the problems. Take the edge off. Because I get the impression that some of these people who are clearly intoxicated, who are causing problems on the planes, are pre-gaming before they get to the airport because they know they're not going to be allowed to have a drink on the plane. And then the other thing is, I think people are taking pills because they know they can't have a cocktail to settle their nerves. And if you don't regularly take pills, that's not a good idea. Just observe all of that the next time you're on the plane. When the person beside you throws their bag on the seat so they can put their luggage in the overhead compartment, listen for the rattle. There was one time I was on a plane. This woman threw her purse on the chair as she was putting her luggage in the overhead compartment. Graceland came out. Now we're having lots of problems on the plane. So hopefully it'll be uneventful, and I'll be back in California on Monday. But I'm in Washington, D.C. today. Randy Wang will be back from vacation on Monday as well. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. He is the senior editor at Reason and author of the book Panic Attack, Young Radicals in the Age of Trump, which is available online at Amazon.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Robbie Suave. Robbie Suave, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Great to talk with you. And a welcome to D.C.
Well, thank you. I was broadcasting on a roof across the street from the Capitol for the last 2 days. And let me tell you, I've heard more sirens over the last 2 days than I think I've heard in the previous 41 years of my life combined.
Welcome. Yeah, this is my neighborhood. I live right near the Capitol as well. We'll probably hear the sirens on both ends shortly.
How do you take a nap ever in this town? I don't know how that's possible.
It's a good question. How do I get to sleep at all? That's why I'm always fired up to chat about what's going on.
I would imagine it doesn't slow down at night. It heats up.
That's right.
Well, I'm eager to pick your brain about a new policy coming out of the state of California, because as a libertarian, this has to get under your skin. The state of California, which has already issued any number of edicts and restrictions as it relates to COVID-19, shutting down businesses, shutting down schools, shutting down beaches and parks and golf courses and sporting events and gyms and everything else, is now on a vaccine mandate kick, where they want to require you to take the shot if you attend a college or university, if you work for the state of California, if you work for a company of a certain size. And today, Newsom signed legislation that would require all students in California schools, both public and private, to take the vaccine. This is kindergartners all the way up to 12th graders, and there are certain exemptions, limited exemptions, but I spoke to a legislator earlier today who said that those will soon be on the chopping block by his estimation. How much of an overreach is this?
I mean, it's just endless. It's endless, endless overreach. You know, these mandates don't, first of all, they don't make a lot of sense practically. Joe Biden's national mandate, and then many of the mandates at the more local level, do not tend to exempt people who recovered from a COVID infection and have natural immunity. We know that kind of immunity is just as robust as vaccine-induced immunity. So you should absolutely, if you're trying to make this policy more defensible, I don't know why we wouldn't exempt them. If those people don't want to get the shot, I don't see why they should have to. They're not at great risk, and they're not risking other people's lives. And then, and more generally, I would just say, you know, if we're going to take the steps of requiring vaccination, I think it's appropriate or can be defended to require for the government to require its own employees to get vaccinated. I don't know about the employees of private companies, as they bridge very far. But let's pair that then, since vaccination works, the vaccine is good, it gives you very strong protection against severe disease and death. Why can't we pair that with a total return to normal? Why don't we pair it with getting rid of the mask mandate and other requirements? But they're not doing that. They never, nowhere are they saying, yeah, well, get vaccinated, and then you can take off your mask. That's what they said at the beginning. It still should be the policy. And they've just totally backed away from that. No, we're going to make you get vaccinated, and then we're going to make you wear a mask anyway.
Well, and at the same time that Newsom is requiring underagers, students in California schools, to take the shot, he gave the Prison Guards Union a pass. They donated millions and millions of dollars to his campaign in the recall election, and in return, they get a pass on the vaccine requirement. But kids who don't have a lobbying arm giving money on their behalf, you have a teachers union that's very powerful, and they want the students to take the shot. So Newsom listens to the teachers union the same way he listens to the prison guards union.
Right. And again, as we know, the young kids are at very, very, very low risk of having a negative health outcome with respect to COVID. The death rate for the under 18 is practically non-existent. And you know, when those very, very, very rare negative health outcomes do occur, they're among, you know, young people with severe immunocompromised issues. So for overwhelmingly kids for them, COVID, it is just like the flu, actually. That wasn't, you know, true when we were applying that across the board, but for kids, it is the truth. So we don't really need to worry that much about them. So, but because they have no powerful political organization fighting for them, obviously not, because they've had to endure the complete shutdown of their social lives, the clubs, their school activities, school experience, the in-person experience, which has been horrible for them, horrible for their mental health, horrible for their, you know, for their just enjoyment of life. But their issues came absolute dead last. And the teachers unions claiming that, oh, we're representing what kids want and families. No, no, no. You're representing what a very narrow class of government employees want. And they've been at every level, they've been more reticent to embrace vaccine mandates for their members, even though they want to force everyone else. It's just incredible. But we've seen this kind of hypocrisy from government employees. It's nothing new, but it is contemptible.
Let's talk about the fight going on in Washington, D.C. right now, because that is certainly the talk of the town where you and I are. There is a battle going on over how much money is going to be spent. Joe Biden says he wants to remake American society by spending $3.5 trillion by labeling everything infrastructure. And there are two Democratic holdouts who say, no way, no how, are we ever voting for that, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. Right now, there appears to be a stalemate, and everyone in this town, including the mainstream media, is blaming those two U.S. senators for not being on board. If you go back to when the Republicans had Congress, and you had factions, Tea Party factions, Freedom Caucus factions, whatever the case may be, Ted Cruz would get in the way of legislation that leadership wanted, man, those people were villainized. Man, they went after them aggressively. Yet you have people like AOC and people on that side of the Democratic Party right now who are saying, if there's any compromise at all that's made on spending, we're going to sink everything to teach you people a lesson. And they are put up on a pedestal and celebrated. Why is that happening right now?
Well, did you catch, this is incredible, Bernie Sanders said, you know, this is horrible, this is wrong, anti-democratic, for two senators, referring to Sinema and Manchin, you know, to thwart the will of the 48. two, getting in the way of the 48. I think your math's a little off there. I think
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival.
featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It's 52. It's all the Republicans plus Manchin and Sinema, which is the majority. So don't claim, you know, Democrats always say we have the majority. Well, you don't on this issue if they're siding against you. So why don't we you do your math on that again? I mean, obviously, the amount of money we're spending is so sort of just gross and obscene to my libertarian perspective. The one thing I will say is Republicans are totally hypocritical on this, though, right? They had control of the government, and every time they do absolutely nothing to constrain spending whatsoever. Deficits, you know, the budget is, they don't even know the word. And then when they're out of power, they start, you know, railing against how much we're spending. And the Democrats are more consistent on this, in that at no point do they plan to actually pay for what they want to spend. Do they plan to balance any budget? They don't pretend that they do. And that's more honest, even as I think it is a completely wrong policy.
Every once in a while, not often, but every once in a while, you'll see a politician change parties. We had a congressman in New Jersey who was a Democrat who became a Republican, won re-election. In California, we had a congressman some time ago, Marty Martinez, who was a Democrat, became a Republican. Do you think if the left pushes too hard on Kyrsten Sinema, who represents a state that is purple but has a long history of electing Republicans to the U.S. Senate, and Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat but represents a ruby red Republican state where his life would be so much easier if he was a Republican and not a Democrat, do you think if they push too hard on those two, they could force them out of the party and get them to switch parties?
I think it's not likely, but it's certainly possible, because politicians want to stay in office more than they want anything else, more than they, you know, they have any commitment to any sort of principle. So if it looks like that's going to be the right strategy for them because their own party has turned on them so much, I don't think it's quite likely with Manchin for some reason. I just don't think so. But, you know, Sinema's had a kind of a creative pathway she's taken. She used to be part of the Green Party, I believe. So she has switched parties before, and she's very idiosyncratic, and they aren't really talking about, you know, possibly primarying her, or at least I'm hearing the pundits talking about we would like to see something like that happen, which seems to me like a really bad mistake, because I don't know that some very left-wing, I mean, they might very much win in the Democratic primary, but then how would they fare in a general setup? So I could see Sinema doing something. I think it's still very unlikely, but she's kind of she's not a libertarian, but she's sort of cares about, you know, she doesn't want taxes to be too high in spending, and then, you know, she's a social moderate or social liberal, which is kind of the, you know, this axis that now everyone's trying to do the opposite, be fiscally irresponsible, big government on economics, and then kind of like socially, I don't know, almost more conservative. I think the Democrats want to, I think the smart Democrats realize they need to pivot away from sort of identity politics, from calling everyone racist, because that was just like giving just a massive advantage to Republicans, to conservatives. The more we talk about culture issues, so the new social issues, critical race theory, you know, that kind of stuff, the more of an advantage Republicans have when it's about economic policy and those kinds of things. I think the Democrats have a much stronger hand, not in general, because I still disagree with their policies, but they're more, those policies are more popular than you know what Nicole Hannah-Jones' vision of the Democratic Party.
You know, generally speaking, a politician never goes wrong if they represent their district and they represent their state. If you vote for the interests of your constituents, you will be more likely than not to win re-election to your job. Yet, because of cable news and social media, it seems like a lot of these politicians have a bastardized view of who they represent, who their constituency is. I saw it happen when I worked at CNN, where you had these politicians that represented districts in Orange County or districts in Central California, and you'd be sitting in the green room with them, and they love the praise that they get when they go on CNN and they say something completely left-wing, and the Twitter audience gives them love. And they get to a point to where they start to think that that's their constituency. Those are the people they represent, not the people who live in their district, not the people who live in their state. And it's a slow progression, but I definitely saw it happen. You look at Kyrsten Sinema's social media feed. She'll post something about a holiday or something, or a picture of herself in Arizona, and it's all just nothing but hate on her vote on this reconciliation bill and the spending bill and everything else. And I would bet you that most of those people don't live in Arizona, and they would never have an opportunity to vote for or against Kyrsten Sinema. Yet you look at the polls in her state, and there's two U.S. senators per state. You have one Democrat, Mark Kelly, who's voting in lockstep with Chuck Schumer, and you have Kyrsten Sinema, who's doing her own thing. She's way more popular in Arizona than Mark Kelly. It's not even close. And he's up for re-election. She's not. So from a purely political standpoint, she's making the right call, and he's making the wrong call. Do you think cable and social media has changed the way these guys look at who they work for?
Oh, 100%. The media distorts this so much because the mainstream media is overrepresented by young, incredibly, you know, woke, very, very progressive graduates of elite liberal arts colleges, and they are disproportionately occupy influential places in the mainstream media, and they're very loud on social media, and thus their views are overrepresented anywhere that elite opinion holds sway. Any in magazines, to some degree on progressive television programs, etc., and their views are totally out of lockstep with, the average view of a person in the country. The median voter is an older American who doesn't have a college degree. They're, in the Democratic Party, it's not all super woke people. There's a lot of older, religious, moderate members of the Democratic Party which, by the way, that's why Joe Biden won the primary easily. He's up against these, the much further left people talking about, reparations for slavery and that kind of thing. Meanwhile, this, much more conventional, very old school, more moderate seeming in his delivery. I'm not claiming his governing as any sort of moderate, but that's his image. And he easily wins because there's so many people. There's so many more of those people. They don't work for the New York Times. They don't have blue check marks on Twitter. They're just not heard of in these elite opinion spaces. So yes, I think your point is completely valid. You chase those people, you get accolades, you get courage awards, you get whatever, but you don't win votes because there's not enough people like that. And also, they're all those people live in New York City or Washington, D.C. or a few other places. This is the progressive vote is not well suited to performing under our current electoral system because they're highly concentrated in just a few areas, whereas more moderate, normal people are spread out geographically across a much greater distance. And because of how we've cut up districts and states and that kind of thing, that actually makes them in the political process even more disproportionately more influential and important, and yet you don't see their views represented.
None of them would ever do it because they would be mocked mercilessly. But if a member of Congress just consciously decided they're not going to do any hits on cable and they're not going to be on social media, would they better represent their constituents than if they were on both of those things?
Oh, of course. And a lot of politicians know that, right? They know. I think they do know that they have to go to the county fair and do town halls and do all that sort of thing. If they're very safe, if for whatever reason they're very politically safe and they're interested in having a kind of national profile or just being a national spokesperson for themselves or some idea, then they're going to want to do more of that, and they're not going to bear much of a consequence for it. But it doesn't make them. I don't think it makes them more popular at home. It makes them more of a target. But you can't. It's the courting of the woke vote just makes no sense unless you're AOC and that's your actual constituency. but everyone else is really shooting themselves in the foot, to use a phrase I've overused today, but it feels very apt.
Well, I also think they do it because they enjoy the celebrity that it brings them.
Yeah, who doesn't? Yeah, absolutely. And it's fun to be on TV. It's fun to get awards. It's fun to be fawned over in Vanity Fair or wherever else. But, you're up and coming. You're exciting. You're different. People are flocking to your campaign. They've also. I was thinking about this today. There was a good revisiting of the kind of Obama narrative by Nate Cohn. Obama didn't really do it, the thinking is that he won.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Because he mobilized all these young people and Hispanic voters and minority voters, et cetera. Actually, the Obama coalition was enduringly and stubbornly popular with the white working class rural voters, actually, which is a historically a Democratic constituency. And then those people got thrown out. Hillary Clinton didn't want anything to do with their vote, and they all went to Trump. But that's the consequence of running that kind of campaign. And now, now Democrats are getting college educated voters are now a Democratic constituency when they were a Republican constituency. And race is actually depolarizing. It's class and educational status is the polarizing issue, not race anymore.
Robbie Suave, senior editor at Reason and author of the book Panic Attack, Young Radicals in the Age of Trump, available online at Amazon.com. You can follow Robbie on Twitter at Robbie Suave. Robbie, have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Earlier today, Warden Newsom announced that all California students, kindergarten through 12th grade, would be forced to take the COVID-19 vaccine if they want to participate in on-campus instruction. I want to talk to the parents out there and find out what you're thinking about this and what you plan on doing at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Let's begin with Matt. Matt, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, my wife and I, we've already decided they don't mandate the flu shot. And in our opinion, this is the same scenario. Obviously, there's different things going on with it, but it doesn't affect children. We're either going to homeschool or we're moving out of state. And I can tell you this much, too. We've had probably 25 different friends reach out and say the same thing.
What school district do you send your kids to?
Luckily, we're in the Fullerton School District, so we're hopeful that Orange County is going to fight back. And I can certainly tell you this much right now. We have people that have never been politically involved in anything are talking about obviously rising up and pushing back and challenging, because it's just too much. We don't know much about the virus or about the vaccine. I'm not going to let somebody put an experimental thing in my kid's arm. It's not going to happen.
Do you think that if Newsom had done this before the election, it might have produced a different result?
Oh, without question. And unfortunately, it's going to be, you would think that Californians are going to wake up at some point. I thought for sure he'd shut us down by now. I'm surprised that hasn't happened. But if he had done this prior to the recall, I think he would have lost in the landslide.
Give it time. let's go to Amanda. Amanda, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hi. No, I'm definitely pulling my kids out. I have a 16-year-old and a 6-year-old. I'm currently homeschooling my 6-year-old. She's in first grade. But I'm ready. Pull them out over my dead body. They're not getting the shot.
Is this something?
I wouldn't even give it to my dog.
Is it something that you'd been thinking about for a long time because of critical race theory and new math and all of the woke stuff that they're being force-fed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even in my daughter's first grade history book, they had Ellen DeGeneres saying she's a philanthropist and she's a great person, and then all that controversy last year with her. And I couldn't believe she was in my first grader's history book. So it starts young, but, you know, I didn't teach her that page, so we just kind of passed through that one.
Well, after she pissed off everyone that works on the show, maybe the history book is the place for her.
Oh, okay, exactly. Yeah.
What are they doing talking about Ellen DeGeneres in a first grade history book?
I don't know.
Did she cross the Delaware River?
I don't know.
But imagine that.
I'm shocked too. Mm-hmm.
Who was the president who got assassinated after the Civil War? Correct answer, Ellen DeGeneres.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so that's our plan, and we feel strongly about it. And like I said, if I can teach a first grader, I can teach a 10th grader, no problem, and I can teach them what I want them to learn.
Well, so you already taught me. You taught me that Ellen DeGeneres was the first person to walk on the moon. You're doing a pretty good job. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kirk.
You.
Kirk, you're on KABC. Hello.
Oh, hi, John. Yeah, I just kind of had a thought. If the protesters don't want to be canceled, how about if they take something from Leonardo da Vinci, write their signs backwards so you have to read them in the mirror? They don't have an algorithm for that. Or those weird squiggly lines they sometimes use for some things for security purposes that a computer can't read? Put it in that. That way they can say anything they want and not have the powers that be censor them.
Well, just so you know, according to my history book, it was not Leonardo da Vinci who painted the Sistine Chapel. It was Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, I know. I thought you were right, but I didn't want to sound stupid on the radio and say that. And I forgot that Ellen DeGeneres invented Morse code, too.
No, that was Portia de Rossi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, they're a couple, so, you know, they can take credit for each other's things.
Thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate it. And, you know, now that I think of it, it wasn't Lewis and Clark that came across the country in covered wagons. It was Ellen and Portia. All this time, I had it wrong. They should change the name of that college up in Oregon from Lewis and Clark College. That's where Monica Lewinsky went. To Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi College. Although I think if it had that name, Monaco still would have gone there. But anyway, that's a different story for a different day. I want to talk to you parents out there at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Warden Newsom is requiring that all California students, kindergarten through the 12th grade, take the shot. What do you plan on doing? 800-222-5222, 1-800-222-KABC. More of your calls coming up, but right now it's time to take a look at the roads.
KABC, dependable traffic right now. If you're headed from Santa Monica into downtown, I hope you're not in a hurry. It's jammed, and an accident in the left lane on the 10 East right before the 110 connector isn't helping. In Hollywood, there's an accident on the 101 North at Western Avenue. That'll have you tapping the brakes from about Silver Lake Boulevard. And City of Orange, 22 East at Tustin Avenue, a crash reported in the middle lane. Stop-and-go traffic from about Grand Avenue. And that's your KABC dependable traffic.
Solicitor Jeff got that one wrong. I guess my history book was wrong when I was in the first grade. It was Michelangelo that did the Sistine Chapel, not Leonardo da Vinci. Wrong Ninja Turtle. Sorry about that, kids. Anyway, remember when California was the Golden State? Well, not anymore. Soaring crime, overregulation, and high taxes are forcing taxpayers to flee. Now, Newsmax's Rob Schmidt looks at what happened in a special series, California, It's Over. Rob walks on the Reagan Ranch with Governor Kristi Noem, and he talks to the insiders and reports right here from the City of Angels. Well, not right here. I'm in Washington, D.C., but right where you are, California. Find out why you need to be worried, because California's mess could soon spread to the rest of the country. Watch Rob Schmidt on Newsmax at 7 o'clock at night. Newsmax is on every major cable system. Just check your cable guide. If your cable system doesn't carry Newsmax, call your operator or switch to a service who does. Get Newsmax on most streaming services like Samsung, Roku, Pluto, Zumo, or download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. It takes seconds, and you can watch them anytime, anywhere. California's nightmare is spreading. Watch Rob Schmidt on Newsmax tonight.
You send pointless texts all day.
You know who'd love this cat gif? Sherry. Or is it pronounced gif? Sherry would know.
Why not send one that could land you 25 grand? Do just that with the 25K Workday Payday on AM 790 KABC. Just listen for the national keyword weekdays 8 to 6. Then text it to 95819 for your shot at 25 grand.
Whoa, you know who'd love that?
Let me guess. Sherry?
Yep.
Full rules at KABC.com.
Looking back at my hard luck days, I really do have to laugh. Working in a dive for $26, spending it all on draft. We were hungry, hard luck heroes, trying just to stay alive. So we'd go down to the corner grocery, this is how we'd survive.
It's 2:47 on this Jimmy Buffett Friday on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. The 25K Workday Payday on 790 KABC is back. Just listen for the national keyword today between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., which it's almost 6 p.m. here on the East Coast, but we're still a ways away from it on the West Coast. During the news break, and you could win $100 and qualify for the grand prize of $25,000. Hourly chances to win. It pays to listen. The 25K Workday Payday on AM 790 KABC. The warden announced earlier this morning that all students in California schools, both private and public, would be required to take the COVID-19 vaccine from kindergarten through the 12th grade. I want to talk to you parents out there. What are you going to do? 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Let's begin with Samantha. Samantha, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hello. Good to talk to you. I have a seventh grader and a junior in high school. My seventh grader is in a private in-person school situation. My junior happened to have started homeschool this year, and it's going very, very well, so maybe she's paving the way for her brother. I have to say it's a very dangerous place to get in between a mama bear and her cubs, and I myself will not be vaccinating my children on anybody else's terms for anything. I will take whatever action is necessary to make sure that their health matters in my hands.
And you look at the statistics of those who are at risk from this virus, and this virus can be very deadly for certain populations. We know who those populations are, and we know people under the age of 18 are not among them. If you
That's
want to
exactly
keep
right.
children from getting sick, then you're better off preventing them from ever going to the city of Chicago if you want to keep them safe and healthy. So what's next?
You nailed it. This is the wrong tree to bark up, and it's insanity. But the really sad part are the number of sheeples that are walking straight off the cliff because of what other people are telling them. People are not doing their own research to know the statistics that this disease, as awful as it is not harming young people. More young people have died of the flu than of COVID. It's insanity.
Well, how many young people have died in California because we're letting people out of prison early? How many young people have died in California because we have prosecutors who refuse to prosecute people who do bad things to children? How many people have died in California because police officers know if they show up to a 911 call, nothing will likely be done? We know that criminals prey on children, particularly when those criminals are the parents of the kids and they neglect them and abuse them and date people who neglect them and abuse them. If you really wanted to help the health and welfare of children, you would keep those people in prison, but they have zero interest in that.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It is a sad day.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Rich. Rich, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hello. How's it going, John?
Good.
Well, I'm taking my kids out of school the second that actually goes into effect within our district. And I can't believe that 15 days to flatten the curve has turned into this, but it goes to show you the slippery slope. We've actually gone all the way down, and it's all about control now. Nothing to do with the disease.
Now, here's a question that every parent who plans on taking their kids out of California public schools is going to have to ponder. If you take them out of California public schools, how are they going to learn how to put a condom on a zucchini?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know that they'll be able to live without being able to do that, huh?
Just something to think about.
Yeah, no, it's flat out ridiculous. And I'm a level-headed tax-paying citizen who's really being pushed to the edge here. But I got to tell you, for people that have already lost their job because of this cooties 19, you know, it's ridiculous. And I tell you what, I think Gavin Newsom might have just done something that's going to jeopardize his life, because there's going to be some out-of-work person that's going to, look at him as the causation of their miserable life.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen, but people are definitely going to be upset. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Emilio. Emilio, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hey, John. Good to talk to you. I hope my wife's listening. So the flu shot is not a requirement, and that actually kills children. We're talking about a vaccine in my first grader and kindergartner that is not even emergency use authorization, has not passed clinical trials. And I guess I keep asking my wife, who's from California, I'm not, at what point are we going to be striking in the street, protesting in the street? I mean, I keep asking my wife, and she doesn't want to do that. But at some point, I mean, what does it take? The teachers at my children's school, they either get vaccinated or they're tested, but yet in their union, and yet children who don't have union representation are going to require a vaccine. This is total insanity. We're talking about a vaccine that has not been tested or approved in not even emergency use in children yet, John. We need help. We need legal representation.
Well, thank you so much for the call, sir. I imagine there will be lawsuits galore in response to this. 800-222-KABC is the number. 1-800-222-5222. More calls coming up on Jimmy Buffett Friday. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.